put God first in your life. Anybody have any ideas or suggestions? Praying.
Doing it like you think he would do.
Right. So how do you treat other people, Taryn?
Go to church.
That is awesome. But today, those are all great ways to put God first. Today we're going to talk more about like money and how you can put God first. I want you to, some of you might get allowance, I don't know if you do, and a weekly, some of you might not, but I want you to pretend that you get $10 allowance this week. And this $10 is going to be the same thing as this banana, okay? This banana represents $10. So let's pretend that you just got your allowance on Monday and you have to go to church on Sunday, okay? So on Tuesday, you really want to go get ice cream with your friends. So you're going to go get a little ice cream. So this represents Tuesday.
Apparently, Carrie didn't have her breakfast.
Wednesday, you really want to go see a movie, but so you're like, okay, I can go see a movie, so this represents Wednesday. Oh, hold on. Okay, Thursday, let's see. Oh, I know. You really want to get a candy bar at the store because, you know, you want your parents shopping. You really want that candy bar. So you go, okay, what the heck? I'm going to get a candy bar. Okay, Friday, you go shopping, and you really wanted this cool shirt, and you still it's on sale for, like, really, really cheap. Like, I'm talking 50% off and another 60, so it's like a dollar. So, okay, so we got one more day left, but oh well, what would you get further left if you really want to spend something somewhere? Taryn, what?
I would think maybe the pet shop.
Oh, the pet shop. What did you get for yourself?
Well,
your money's gone.
It was tasty, though.
So, there's only a peel left. It's and you have to go to church tomorrow, and so this money, you don't have any money left. So put God first. So what could you have done instead of spending it all? Ella?
Not going to the movies, getting the candy bar,
right?
And all that junk.
Well, yes, that's true. But hold on. Well, well, you could have put, like, maybe, let's say you said a dollar or something, said, I'm going to give, set this money aside, and I'm going to give this for offering at church. So, this represents, so we don't want to leave God last. We want to put God first. One way you can do it is setting aside a little bit of money or something. This is just talking about money. And that way, he doesn't represent this grass, but he comes first in our life. Okay? So, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for bringing these kids here today. Bless them this week and keep them safe and healthy and always let them know they're loved. Amen.
Amen.
So, Miss Kay Cameron is going to go down with you guys if you want to go down the stairs today for a little trip.
Well, we're a rowdy bunch today, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
We are a rowdy bunch. It is currently 10:57. Amen. We're done. No. There was a lot of life to live today here, isn't there? I do have something prepared, but my thought runs along this line. We have a baptism today, and I'm really excited about that, one I know for sure. And if you'd like to be baptized, you can come back and join us in just a few moments. Here's what I'd like to do instead. I did put together something to talk about. Looking at the clock. I think what I want to do instead is let's talk about baptism just a little bit more, could we? If you have your Bibles, we did this last week, and if you weren't here last week, I'm going to repeat it. Will you turn to Matthew 3 in your Bibles with me? Matthew 3 tells us the story of Jesus coming to John the Baptist to be baptized. John had been prophesied in the Old Testament. He was going to be the Elijah of the New Testament. He was going to be calling to people and saying, "You need to get your lives right with God. I know you're going to synagogue every week, and isn't that great? But that's the outside of you, and the inside of you needs some work. Your heart needs to come back to God. My feet may be going the right direction. The outside of me is doing what I'm supposed to do. But the insides of the hearts of a lot of the Israelites had strayed from their first love to love God. They even commanded to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your body, your strength. And somewhere in those years of going to church as a country, as a people, they'd lost some of the heart. In fact, they'd gone so far as they'd written a book of rules to make you look good and make you religious. Over 600 rules that if you were going to be religious, you needed to follow. And what John the Baptist said was, what God really wants is your heart. Same thing King David tried to write in the Psalms. You desire obedience. You want my heart rather than my sacrifice. And John is out there living, wearing clothes that are a little odd even for back then, consisting on a diet of locusts and wild honey. Not really sure that that would appeal to me. But he's out there because he's been called to a very specific purpose. And to be honest, folks, his life is really short. He doesn't make it much longer before Herod's wife asks for his head in a platter. And so Herod does that. Instead, what he does is he wanders out there and he says to people, bring your heart back to God. And if you're giving your heart back to God, come into the waters of the Jordan River and demonstrate where your heart really is. Ceremonial cleansing was something the Israelites were very familiar with. The priests had to do it before they could go in and do certain things in the temple. They understood that. But John wanted them to be clear that this was not a cleansing of dirt. Baptism in the waters with him was a sign that my heart has turned back to my God. And he's been down there doing that for a while. He has a reputation. People are coming out to hear him talk. And amazingly, he's not just saying things they want to hear, but there's something about him that is truth that resonates with them, and they go to hear what he has to say. He happens to be Jesus' cousin or relative in that direction. So Jesus is coming along and he says, it says, Jesus went, we're in verse 13. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you. He said, so why are you coming to me? John knew who Jesus was. John knew that he was a forerunner. He had told his believers, I must decrease and he must increase. My ministry is going to die down because I was just starting the road. He is going to increase. But Jesus comes to John to be baptized. And I find that to be a very amazing thing because Jesus' heart never strayed from his Father, did it? Never. And yet Jesus says, I'm going to come and do this. John's unclear about this. Why are you coming to me? If Jesus came to you now and he said to you, Pat, I'd like you to baptize me, how would you feel? Like, what's, how about the other way around? How about we switch places? This feels... Why are you coming to me? John says. Here's what Jesus says. It should be done. For we must carry out all that God requires. Later on in the epistles, Paul writes that Jesus came to earth and learned obedience. Why did Jesus need to learn obedience? What a crazy thing to say. But he just chose to be obedient in everything God asked him to do. Baptism should be done, Jesus says, for we must carry out all that God requires. There's something precious about this ceremony. It shows my heart is turned toward my Father in heaven. It demonstrates outwardly a change that has already happened inwardly. So John agreed to baptize him. And after his baptism, Jesus came up out of the water. The heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." Something about this time, this process that God asks us to walk through, is precious to him. Paul goes on to say, this outward demonstration of your inward commitment is a model of Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. He says, when you are baptized, don't you remember? When you were baptized with Christ and then raised to a new life. There's no magical things that happen in the water. You're not going to come out and have a voice from heaven speak. I'm quite sure of that. But there's something to this moment that honors your Father above. An outward demonstration of an inward change and commitment in your life. Whether it happened today, whether it happened 10 years ago, whether it happened 50 years ago, doesn't seem to be the point of the scriptures. Something about this process brings God joy. And we're going to do that today. Glinda is going to be baptized. We are so excited about that. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray and close the service. Glinda and Shelby and I are going to go back and we're going to get ready. If you'd like to be baptized today, we can baptize you too. The water's warm.
Ish.
Ish. We did turn the heater on. Apparently it gets so hot and then turns itself off. We didn't know that. It is warm enough and it is full. Or we'll leave it full and we'll do you next week. Whatever you would like to do. We're here today to honor God with everything that we do, inwardly and outwardly. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you that you came to earth to save us. To save us for an eternity with you, a new heaven and a new earth. And I know most of us can't wait for that. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave us hopeless. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to live, to die, to be raised again, so that we could be with you forever. And thank you for this precious ceremony that demonstrates that in another way. We love you, and we thank you again for today. In your Son's name, amen. All right, John's going to play some music. Glinda and Shelby and I will go on back. And if you'd like to be baptized...